I've really appreciated your letters. I know you try to keep any personal connections away during the sessions, so to get letters from you, it means a lot. You have any more visions recently? No, sorry, I... No talking about you during the sessions. It's, just send a letter, if you have any more, you know, just... You know the whole letter thing is a little old-fashioned, but I guess so is a part of you, isn't it? It is nice to know a little bit more about the person I'm spilling my whole life story to, especially when she refuses to talk during the session. You know, it's weird. You don't need to talk. Those looks you give, I always know exactly what you want me to talk about. It's kind of cool. So do my looks give anything away? Because I'd really like to know if
you still have else in your life.
It's no one, Sally. It's just therapy. Wrong tape about letters, guys.
Welcome to the Beating Heartland, created by Denver Bauman. Episode 7, The Weeping Willow.
Can we hurry this up? You guys are usually quicker. I mean, what's the holdup? I don't mean to rush you, but there's kind of a ghost girl in here with me, staring at me. But none of you can see her, can you? Are the handcuffs really necessary? I mean, what are you afraid I'm gonna do? I'm not the one floating in the corner. Why are none of you doing anything about this? Why aren't you doing anything about the ghost girl that you can't see, hear, and don't even know if she exists? You all just think I'm crazy. You don't believe any of this. Well, my sanity just doesn't matter right now, okay? Just find the tape. Regardless of what you think of me, you know that I'm your best bet at solving these, well, let's be honest, serial killings. That's probably why you guys haven't given up on me yet. Just look, I can't remember the contents of the letter. I really can't. I know I found the letter, and I remember reading it, but the whole page is just a blur in my mind. It's like trying to tune into a radio station, but it's just slightly out of range, you know? All fuzzy. What do you want, Sally? Why are you doing this to me? They all think I'm crazy. You don't seem to want to hurt me, so what's your game? What is it you want? Finally, you guys found it.
I did it. I found the letter. Whew, sorry, just give me a sec. I know I don't have an appointment, but you said that if there's anything to talk about that I should, so I'm here. Okay, so I never got the letter after my great aunt told me about it. I must have forgot or something. Like with so much else. That day when I talked about, you know, both of us sending letters back and forth to each other, the memory of that letter just kind of jumped back into my mind. I wrote a note about it before I left to help remember. It worked. I took a trip to Shannon, specifically the old house. The tree was gone. Must have fallen over or been cut down at some point, but there was still a stump and roots. I didn't take it well. I mean, yeah, I was sad because with most of the tree gone, finding that letter seemed almost impossible, but also, I know it's stupid, but the tree was, you know, part of the family. It was always there to lean on in the quiet hours of the evening while I read. It shared some of my favorite stories with me. Nobody was at the house. At least, there were no cars in the driveway. Yeah, I teared up a little bit. I didn't want to give up, so I just started looking around the stump. And I did find something. there were letters carved into it. P and S, which are my parents' initials, Philip and Susan. It was on the side of the tree I never leaned against and was at a height that it must have escaped my view as a kid. There were hearts carved around it. Cheesy, I know. And sweet. There was something wrong with the letters. My dad's initials had claw marks sliced over them. Deep grooves into the tree where the P was. Gooey sap oozing out of it, in a trail to the ground. I followed the trail with my eyes, and between two gnarled roots, I saw a small hole in the ground, but it was covered by loose dirt and dead leaves. I slowly put my hand into the hole, hoping that I could find something, rummaged around, and I felt a piece of paper. I quickly grabbed it, tried to pull it out, and then something grabbed me. I felt it latch onto my arm with this vice grip. I tried to pull my hand out, but I couldn't. Whatever was in the tree refused to let go. And then it began to pull. I wedged myself against the stump, trying to keep the thing from pulling me down with it. My arms started to pop, my muscles screaming at me. But with one final burst of energy, I screamed and pulled, and it didn't work. And I was pulled into the hole. I don't know how I fit. It was like the roots were wrapping around me in this violent hug. My mouth filled with dirt, and soil rushed past my eyes as I was pulled down, down, down. And then it stopped. And there was just blackness around me. I couldn't breathe. The soil was pushing on me from everywhere. I held my breath. I started to feel woozy. I looked around, desperate for anything I could do to save me, but nothing. Just darkness. I passed out. But then a memory, or a dream, started playing in my mind. Look, before I continue, I realize this sounds insane. I get it, Ariadne. I am okay. Trust me. Okay? I'm alive. I mean, my arm hurts, but it's not broken somehow. This happened yesterday, and the memory of it is already hazy, like my mind just wants to forget. What's wrong with me? Anyway, in the dream, I was 8 or 9. I was reading my favorite book underneath the tree. At this point in time, it was still standing tall and proud, covering almost the entire lawn in shade, the leaves covering me from the harsh sun. I often found myself reading aloud to the tree, as if it could hear me. I don't know why. Filled the bark with my soul. I spent so much time under that tree, reading, breathing stories into the air. And one day, I heard a rustling in the leaves, and a kid calling out on the verge of tears. I glanced up, and there was a kite stuck in the tree. A young girl, I didn't recognize her from school, was running up to the tree, shouting, I'm so sorry, my kite got away from me. I just mumbled, no need to apologize. We both stood awkwardly for a few moments, glancing at each other, the kite, and the tree. Finally, after gathering the courage to talk to a girl, I said, I can help you get it down if you want. She smiled. You do that? I just nodded. I had tried climbing the tree before, but wasn't able to. The nearest place you could get was a fork where the trunk became two. Unfortunately, that spot was too high for my 8-year-old arms to reach. I hadn't tried in a while, though. I hoped that I had grown enough or was stronger or something. I also realized there was someone else who could help. Want to give me a boost? She agreed. With her help, I was able to reach the fork in the trunk. I smiled in triumph. This was the farthest I'd ever made it up the tree, but I wasn't going to let the girl know that. There was a branch, so I reached up, and with all of my strength and using my feet, I was able to get even higher. I hugged the trunk tight and hoped that the kite was close. I looked up and still had a long way to go. I'm not afraid of heights. I just realized the danger of falling. I wasn't fond of the idea of breaking bones. The girl's eyes were large, filled with hope. Not fair. I sighed, frustrated at my need to impress, and continued climbing. The wind whipped around me. The branches swayed. The wood was groaning, threatening to break or throw me off. Terrified, unsure of what to do besides climb and hope for the best, I began whispering to the tree. I didn't really know what I was saying at first. I was so focused on climbing, but the words just poured out. I was telling the tree a story. It was something silly about a squirrel preparing for winter, but each tree was full. It couldn't find any place to put the nuts, until a really nice tree decided to help. I made up the story, or I think I did. I must have figured the tree would like to hear a story about one of its kind. While telling the story, everything seemed to calm. The wind wasn't as harsh. The branches stopped whipping around. I smiled and started climbing even faster. But then I made the mistake of looking down. I was so high up, higher than I thought possible from this tree. I strained my eyes to see the girl on the ground, but I couldn't anymore. She was gone, or hidden by the height, too small to see. Everything was so far away. If I fell, it wouldn't be good. I hugged the tree, my body shaking, refusing to move, fear taking over. Splinters pierced my hands as my knuckles turned white holding on. Like I said, I'm not afraid of heights, but a sudden sense of self-preservation washed over me. If I made one wrong move, I'm dead. But then, this feeling of calm washed over me. The air seemed to be cooler. The tree was shading me, returning my frantic hug with one of calm security, the shade of comforting leaves. I took a deep breath, and with more resolve than I'd thought possible, continued to climb, focused on one foot after the other, forbidding myself from looking down. I finally reached the branch where the kite had been. I yelled in triumph, but there was no kite. Instead, just a few feet away, a twisted smile, pale eyes, gray skin, and matted fur. The thing waved at me, clawed hands, dark gray and wrinkled like a monkey's. I screamed. It screamed back, mocking me, rolling on its back, laughing, somehow balancing expertly on the branch. It stood up, its matted fur wet with a gooey substance peeling off the bark. The clawed feet scraped against the branch as it began walking towards me. I frantically looked for a place to escape, but behind there was only ground. The creature's face was inches from mine, that impish smile taking up most of my vision. I held my breath, praying that this was some nightmare and it would just go away. Its clawed paw reached towards me. I noticed that it was wearing ragged and torn clothing. It was the same clothes that the little girl had been wearing. And then everything went dark, and I was me again. The older me. Underneath the tree, in the dark, the soil pushing against me, mind rushing back to the present. My body locked in the branches. I didn't know what to do. I was dying, choking on the dirt. Everything had been so sudden. There hadn't been a warning. Was this it? All of my questions unanswered. It wasn't fair. And then a thought sprung into my mind. Tell it a story. I don't know what made me think it, but I did. I told the story of the squirrel looking for a tree in the winter until it came across a kind tree that wanted to help. The tree was happy to help because the tree had watched the squirrel grow up, was proud of who the squirrel had become. I wasn't able to speak. Not really. The dirt was packed in my mouth. I could barely breathe. But as I thawed it, suddenly my mouth was free. The soil shifted, and I could speak. I began shouting out the story as well as I could remember. I felt the ground shifting around me, the roots moving. I could see them, darkly shifting and undulating through the ground. And then I saw it again, the impish smile, the matted fur, the tattered, almost rags of clothing of the little girl. Before I could scream, a root wrapped around my mouth, shushing me. I forced myself to remain calm, and I looked closer. The girl, the thing, wasn't moving. It just stared at me, smiling, eyes still and unfocused. Several roots were penetrating its body, dried blood coating the wood. The body was decaying. Bits of flesh falling off, bones peeking through. The tree had saved me all those years ago. It had killed the thing, protected me, but why? I mean, it's a tree. My best guess, because I shared stories with it. I know that's weird, but I mean, what isn't anymore? But for once in my horrible life, the weird actually helped me this time. The tree liked my stories, whatever way a sentient tree can, I guess. I don't know why the tree's alive, any more than I understand the monsters and the ghosts I see. So with all of that, I guess a living tree isn't that weird. I felt the roots begin to shift, and I looked up at them, and there was a book, the pages browning from age, a children's book that I don't think I've ever seen. The pages were all crinkled. The root pushed the book towards me, and I grabbed it, gratefully. The ground rushed around me as I was pushed out of the hole in the ground and back into the sunlight. I coughed, trying to get all of the dirt out of my throat. And as I lay on the ground, the tree covered me in a cool shade, as it had for years. I looked up to thank the tree and remembered that it had been cut down. It was just a stump. I still felt the shade. One last time. I don't know why it pulled me down into the ground. Maybe it didn't recognize me at first, or, I don't know, it was scared because it had been cut down and was dying. But for whatever reason, it decided to help me one last time. After a while, I got back in my car, drove away. I parked near the church on my way out of town and looked more closely at the book the tree had given me. The title was, The Boy Who Could Be Healed. I opened to the first page, and a letter fell out, addressed to my mom. And I still haven't opened it. It's right here. I don't want to risk forgetting what's in it, so I want you to hear. And I want it to be on that recording of yours. Dear Susan, that's my mom's name. I fear you will never truly know the lengths I have gone for you, the risks I have taken, the people I have angered for you. Perhaps you will never read this letter. It might lay dormant forever under the tree, my secret admission, undisclosed. If, however, you do read this, know that I love you. Love is a funny word, but I have no other way to describe it. What other emotion could motivate me to do what I did? Your pain became my pain that day I came to talk with you. You were so scared, so frail, so alone. You were praying for hours that your boy would be okay. I never wish to see you in that pain ever again. Know that I have helped by removing one of your problems. Philip was never the right man for you. His life was not his own to decide what to do with it. He should never have fallen in love. He wasn't supposed to. There was a greater purpose meant for him, a purpose I have acted on, and it was marvelous. You'll be happy to know his contribution to the cause will benefit us for nearly 30 years. Your family is special. You know that, and has always been part of a greater purpose. I merely hoped nudged along. His death was inevitable, just as the birth of your son was inevitable. I am sorry, however, for the way things had to happen. It has caused you more pain, and for that I am sorry. I wish I could answer all of your questions, but I can't. He won't let me, and the plan still needs to move forward. Trust me when I say you will be rewarded for the part you have played, even unknowingly. Your purpose in life has been fulfilled, and you deserve to rest. However, your son still has a purpose for us, so you will excuse me when we see to its completion. In the end, you will thank me. In the end, you might love me. And I know you will love him and what he has done for you. You will never read this letter. I don't think you will. I don't really know why I wrote it, other than to have my feelings in the air. My mind is too full these days. Well, I release these thoughts finally, at least. For the person actually reading this, you cannot stop us. We have been here for centuries, and we will not stop. You know that. So just let yourself sleep. It will be easier that way. I need to go. I just need to go.
What the crap? Well, I found a letter. I forgot that completely. I hate this. Do you know what it's like to forget everything that's important to you? I'm a shell. Every memory, every recording we dig up, it just hammers into my skull how useless I am. If I could just think properly, maybe I could actually have done something by now. I don't even feel human anymore sometimes. I may already know all of the answers and just not know it, you know? How is that fair? I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. Did whoever wrote the letter have to be that cryptic? I mean, come on. I'm so sick of the mind games, and the riddles, and the confusion, and the hundreds of questions in my head. I didn't think it was going to be like this when you guys brought me in. I don't know. Maybe I hoped you'd have answers for me right away. I'm not entirely sure you don't have answers yet. It's not like you're telling me anything. Do you guys even want the answers? I mean, I'm still in here, so I can only assume you do. I guess it doesn't matter what you want, because I want the answers. I need the answers. And I don't care if I go crazy trying to find it anymore. The killer left a letter, addressed to Mom, but not meant for her. It was meant for me, or whoever the killer thought would be looking into the situation. Or it was meant for him, the killer, a way to get the actions off his chest. Okay, well, he doesn't seem to be working alone. So whoever killed my dad isn't the, isn't in charge. There's someone else. And who knows if there's more besides those two. But why burn him? I mean, why burn all of the bodies? What purpose is there to kill them? He keeps talking about purpose. I know, this is a lunatic rambling. He said there was a purpose for killing my dad, and that it would be felt for 30 years. What does that mean? I mean, he also said there was a purpose for me. Huh. Are they going to kill me? We need to figure out who they are. We know for sure that my mom didn't do it. So there's one answer checked. We have one. We've taken a step forward, so there has to be more. It's a small step. I know. That's all I got going for me right now. I just wish I knew what to try next. I don't know. It's just impossible to know what's actually going to be helpful or not. I mean, do you guys have anything? Oh, I guess you do.
The Beating Heartland was written and performed by Denver Bauman. If you enjoyed the show, please rate and review us on whatever streaming platform you are using. Follow us online at The Beating Heartland. Thank you for listening.